2 Peter chapter 3, start with verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, now this is what you're to be mindful of, okay, that's what he's saying. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and boy, we're in that day, ain't we? And saying, where is this promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep or died, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Well, that's a lie. They forgot the flood. Verse 5. For this they willingly are ignorant of. They're ignorant on purpose. That by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire, not water this time, fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. To him, we've just been here six days and something. Yeah. I know you believe there was billions of years and all this stuff and flying saucers and little green men. But anyway, verse 9, the Lord's not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering.
Praise
God. To usward. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. And the elements, that's everything, planets, stars, earth, shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking forward and hastening unto the coming of the day of God? We're looking forward to it and wish it hurry up. Wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness.
Amen.
Wherein, well, a new heaven, a new heaven. The Bible says that the earth and the elements that now are will melt with a fervent heat. That's not hell. Hell is the abode of the dead without Christ. Hell is in the heart of the earth. The Bible says so. But even hell will be dissolved that day. Everything will be dissolved. And God's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. Wherein dwelleth righteousness. It'll all be right. Right now, the earth doesn't have much righteousness. Not much right going on. Amen. According to God's right. I'm not talking about this social stuff that the Southern Baptists done got hung up on and all these other denominations got hung up on. Why don't we just stay with the book?
Right.
Why don't we just stay with the book? What does the book say? What's righteous and what's unrighteous? Amen. And one day it's all going to melt. It's all going to melt. It's going to be burned up. And boy, with rioting in the streets and protests and plagues and viruses and germs and all this stuff, who would not believe that? Who would not believe that? I think even as I did, as an unrighteous man, I figured one day this stuff's going to get blown up.
Yeah.
one day this stuff's going to stop. This can't go on. If there's a God in heaven, this cannot continue. And I thought about that. And then as a Christian, I got to thinking this week, what is the missing message of the Bible? We're preaching peace. We're preaching hope. We're preaching help. We're preaching healing. We're preaching all these things. And all that's right in its own place if you're rightly dividing the word of truth as the Bible commands us to. We do preach those things. Of all people in the world, we have a message of hope. We have a message of peace. We have a message of love and forgiveness and the long suffering of God and these things. We have those messages. But as I get to looking at this, these people with the virus especially, people are afraid to die. People are scared to death to die. Now, don't get me wrong. I love being with my family. I love being on planet Earth with the people I love. But I also have this realization from the Word of God and from past experience that people die. It's appointed unto man wants to die. What they ought to be afraid of, and then after this, is the judgment, he says. I am kind of afraid of getting sick. I don't like being sick. I've been sick terribly in my lifetime, and I don't like it. I've been so sick, I prayed, God, if you ain't going to heal me, kill me, I'd be better off in heaven. Amen. Amen. But I'll tell you this, I don't like being sick. I am fearful of sick, but I'm not fearful of death. Yes, sir. I'm not fearful of death. And so I got to think, what is missing in all these current messages and these churches and all these sermons online and stuff? And people are saying we're reaching more people than we ever have. And I probably am. I don't know about the rest of them. I looked at one the other day I had preached, and it had reached over 600 people. And I thought, well, that's great. I never could have reached them in my church. We couldn't get 600 people in the building. But I wish a few of them would show up. Amen. But I got to think about that, and I got looking at the messages. And do you know what's missing? Do you know what's missing in all these messages? Sinners still go to hell. Did you know you can be sick and get well? You still got to die. It's appointed unto man wants to die. And after this, the judgment. The most important question is, where are you going? Where is your eternal destiny? If a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as a day, and we are eternal beings and we're going to lay down this body one day, and if you're not a believer, where are you going to be? Now, if you are a believer, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Unless you're a Seventh-day Adventist or Jehovah's Witness or something, you know, a cult. To be absent from the body, according to the Bible, is to be present with the Lord. And we look forward to that, he says. We look forward to the hastening of the day of the Lord. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, we say. As believers, we say that, and that's wonderful to preach here. But what do we preach out there? I'm afraid we've become so busy entertaining and encouraging the saints that we've forgotten there's some sinners.
Amen.
If God is true, and we know He is by experience, and if the Bible's true, we know it is by experience, and salvation is real, and we know it is by experience, then the rest of the book is real too.
Amen.
And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Most of us sitting here today, I'd almost dare to say all of us. I don't know your heart, but I'd like to think that anyway. We know our eternal destiny, no matter what. The riots, the bombs, the burning, the killing, the sickness, the death, all of that does not scare us. We know where we're going, and we're settled on that forever. And we gather ourselves together every Sunday online or in buildings, and we keep preaching that and preaching that and preaching that, and all that's true, but what about the sinner? We just read it. The sinner goes to hell. The sinner separated from God in a place called hell. And then one day when the earth burns and it all melts with a fervent heat, and we've been raptured out of here before that happens, And we're in heaven with him, and we come back with him to bring that judgment. What happens to the sinner? Hell will even be emptied, and they'll be turned into the lake of fire. And I personally believe that's the sun, but I'm not dead on that if you want to disagree. But the sons of lake of fire is a college boy. Ask him. Do they still teach science at Coastal Carolina? Not you, thank God. Amen. But what happens to the sinner? He that believes, everybody loves John 3:16. It's on everything. Every wrestler that wallers around in a rink with his underwear on top of another naked man loves to quote John 3:16. That's about the ugliest sight I ever seen in my life. Two big old fat ugly men in their underwear rolling around in a ring. I don't want to see that. I want to see it if you ain't fat. Amen. I think there's something wrong with me. I better not say that. Everybody likes John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But wait a minute. What about John 3:18? He that believeth not is condemned already. Because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. To reject Christ is to go to hell. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest. There, and then he turns right around later on. He says, there is no rest for the wicked. Amen. Torment, day and night. Yes. The Bible says, in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments in Luke 16. To be absent from the body, be present with the Lord for a believer. But for the unbeliever, it's to wake up in hell. And did you know there's only one step between you and hell or heaven? Your last one. This fellow tried to get me to explain eternity one time. He was a doubter and he wanted to embarrass me in front of people. He said, explain eternity to me. I said, is this easy? The Bible says there's one step between you and the grave. There's one heartbeat between you and death. There's one breath between you and the other side. And nobody can explain that until they experience that, but I know it's true because it's in the book.
Amen. Amen.
And one day you're going to take your last breath, take your last step, and your heartbeat's going to beat that last beat, and you're going to go to sleep, and you're going to wake up somewhere else, and it ain't going to be here. And the Bible says, in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Well, preacher, if that's true, who cares if the sinner goes to hell? Well, apparently it looks like most Christians don't anymore. See, we've been sold this lie. We've been sold a lot of lies lately, haven't we, son? Amen. I'm glad you ain't one of those kind of people. Listen, we've been sold a lot of lies here lately. And it seems like we've been sold a lie that everybody's okay. I mean, surely your son don't go to hell. Surely your daughter doesn't go to hell. Surely your sweet little children's not going to grow up and die and go to a devil's hell. God would never do that to your children. God would never do that to your grandchildren. God would never do that to your husband. God would never do that to your wife. Well, I got news for you. God's not a respecter of persons. And we're not talking about social justice. We're talking about righteous judgment, heaven or hell.
Amen.
But who cares? It seems very few churches even talk about it anymore. I'll search the internet, about the only people I can hear talking about hell is the old-fashioned barnstorming, window-rattling, shingle-pulling preacher that everybody else calls the dinosaur around here, and everybody else says you're not in style anymore, you need to get you some of them fancy tissues, put some rips in your pants so you can be relevant. I don't want to be relevant. I am a dinosaur, if that's what you call belief in Christ. I am backward, if that's what you call believing the Bible to be the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. And you can call me anything you want to, but when the trumpet sounds, you're going to have to call me gone. I'm not going to be here anymore. And you're going to have church however you want to. Amen. Well, you're being judgmental. Now, I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Who cares if the sinner goes to hell? Seems like the church doesn't. Seems like the church is afraid somebody's going to call them names. Well, they called Jesus names. They called John the Baptist names. They called Elisha names. They called Elijah names. They called Noah names. They called Moses. They called, man, it just goes on and on. They called Peter names.
Yes.
Who are you? Who do you think you are? You're some kind of special Christian that people shouldn't torment or torture or make fun of? If you are, you're a rare breed because none of those are in the Bible. You got to be like all the rest of us.
Yes.
I'll tell you what the problem is. You really don't believe in hell.
Right.
That's the problem. You really don't believe in hell. Well, who cares if people go to hell? Well, I got to think about that. Don't turn there. I'm going to go fast. I've typed all these out. Ezekiel 33:11 says, "As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that they turn from his evil way and live." God doesn't want you to go to hell. If there's a sinner out there today, listen to me. Let me tell you something. The creator of the universe did not create you to go to hell.
Right.
He doesn't want you to go to hell. Did you know God gets no pleasure in you dying and going to hell?
Amen.
Boy, I used to think God was some kind of big old monster sitting up on a throne somewhere with a baseball bat watching me over the rails of heaven just waiting for me to do something wrong so he could slap me upside the head with that baseball bat. I didn't know that was the wages of sin. I didn't know I was slapping myself every time I messed up, turned away from God, rejected his word. It was me whipping me. It wasn't God whipping me. It was the results of my sin, not his results. God not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God don't want you to go to hell. He didn't plan hell for you. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. And unless you're a devil, and there's a bunch of them acting like it right now, or one of his demons, there's a bunch of them acting like that right now, but unless you're one of those, you're going to be out of place in hell. God didn't even make a place in hell for you. God doesn't want you to go to hell. It doesn't appear the church cares anymore. Doesn't appear that Christians care anymore. God will risk offending you to keep you out of hell. God will risk hurting your feelings to keep you out of hell. God will risk your misunderstanding him to keep you out of hell. Doesn't seem like Christians want to do any of that anymore. Let's just go along to get along to go along. But God don't want you. God doesn't want anybody in hell. Thank God he did. I thought I was born to go to hell. Thank God nobody's born to go to hell. And I don't care what the new movement in the Southern Baptist Convention is going through their seminaries, that they're Calvinists. I don't care nothing about that. They learn to read the Bible and throw those other books away. They'll be Bible believers, not Calvinists. Nobody was born to go to hell. You're not willing that A-L-L, not all of them, any A-N-Y, nobody should go to hell, and God doesn't want you to go to hell. And if you go to hell, you're going to go to hell tripping over him and his word, his love, his grace. You have to push it aside to go to hell. Well, I remember all those times I just pushed aside the grace of God and said, no, I'm not going to do that. John 6:44 says, no man can come to a father except the Spirit draw him. John 16:8 says he came to reprove the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. God the Holy Ghost does not want a sinner to go to hell. Now you already knew that though because you're the church. And even if you didn't know those scriptures, you already knew it. You know how I know? Because he lives in you.
Yes.
And if you're really saved, you don't want a sinner to go to hell.
Right.
And if you're really saved, you know that the Holy Ghost wants to draw them to the Savior.
Right.
Did you know? Luke 19:10 says that for the Son of Man's come to seek and to save that which was lost. Did you know Jesus Christ doesn't want you to go to hell? I know a lot of y'all use that name in vain now. And shame on you. Shame on you. Shame on you. There's some of the most vulgar, wicked, vile things being said today. I never would even have said as a sinner. Especially in public. Shame on you. God the Son laid aside his royal robes, got off his throne, came down here to be born as a man, lived a life you can't live, suffered a suffering you can't suffer, died a death you can't die, and rose from the dead the third day to prove that he didn't want you to go to hell. Shame on you for rejecting that. God the Father doesn't want you to go to hell. God the Holy Ghost doesn't want you to go to hell. God the Son doesn't want you to go to hell. If you go to hell, you're going to have to trample the blood of Jesus Christ. He shed his blood for our sins. He was the sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice, and you won't even accept it. All you got to do is accept it. Instead, you stomp on his blood, mock his name, make fun of the faith, and you wonder why we don't understand you.
Right?
Well, you have to make allowances for me. No. No, there are no allowances. There's one way. One faith, one baptism, one Savior, one Word, one heaven, one hell. There is no allowances. Amen? There's no tolerating. There's no making a way for something that's not supposed to be made. You either go to heaven or you go to hell, and God the Father doesn't want you to go to hell, and God the Holy Ghost doesn't want you to go to hell, and God the Son has already paid your way to heaven. And to reject that, what do you think you ought to get from the rest of us? We love the Lord Jesus Christ. We live for the Lord Jesus Christ. We put up with your blasphemy and your ungodliness and your intoleration toward us. Because we love you, because he loved you first.
Yes.
You attack him, you attack me.
That's right.
In Luke 16:24, the rich man went to hell and he cried for mercy. He said, Father, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus and let him dip the tip of his finger in water and come over here and cool my tongue. For I'm tormented in this pain. Wait a minute, it didn't stop there. He said, and listen, while you're at it, would you send somebody over to my father's house? I've got 5 brethren headed this way. And if somebody rose from the dead and told them they didn't have to go to hell, they'd get saved and they wouldn't come down here. People in hell who know they've rejected the Savior, they know they could have been saved. They rejected the love of God, the peace of God, the presence of God, the way of God. They rejected all of that. And now they're in hell and they know it. And you know what they're doing? People in hell are praying you don't come there. These little smart alecks will come along every once in a while. And they'll say, well, if I die and go to hell, we'll just have a party down there. You're an idiot. You are ignorant. I don't have the words for you. You know how I know? I used to be one of you. Did you know there's nobody in hell right now wants you to come to hell? There are no parties in hell. It's outer darkness. You're all alone. Well, I'll see so-and-so and I'll see so-and-so. No, you won't see anybody. The Bible says it's outer dark. Cast them in outer darkness. Man, those people I knew and I grew up with. And they died and went to hell. And thank God he gave me more time.
Amen.
And there wasn't just people down there at the church praying I wouldn't go to hell. But there's people in hell praying I wouldn't come. Friends of mine. Probably some family members in hell praying. Brother Michael, they're praying for me not to come to hell. Don't nobody pray for me. There's people in hell praying for you right now. Preach it, Ron. Tell them the truth. We don't want them down here. We don't want them to suffer what we're suffering. Seems like the church has forgotten.
Yes.
But I'll guarantee you the people in hell hadn't forgot you. Seems like Christians have grown lazy and cold, but I'll tell you somebody that's not lazy and cold. That's people in hell praying for you right now. You got people that love you, that knew you, and they rejected Christ, and they woke up in hell, and they're praying right now for you. They're praying your name that you won't come there. Father, send Abraham over out of my father, Lazarus over to my father's house, that he might tell. I got 5 brethren tell them not to come down here. If I started calling names, I'd lose control. People I know in hell that prayed for me. Prayed for me, Holroyd. In hell, they prayed for us not to come there. It seemed like of all the places in the world that the church would be praying for people not to go to hell.
Right.
Instead of entertaining them. Instead of tolerating it. Instead of acceptance. Instead of worrying about social injustice. Let me tell you something. Long as man, sinful man lives, there will be social injustice. There always had been. There always will be. And your little sermonette ain't going to make any difference. Only God can change a human heart from reprobate and dirty and nasty and unclean into holy and pure that'll treat people right. They may not care down at church house anymore, but those people down there in the devil's house, they pray and they care. God the Father cares. God the Holy Ghost cares. God the Son cares. Those in hell, they care. And there's another one. In Luke 15:10, there's joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repenteth.
Amen.
The people in heaven care. Amen. Thank God. I know some in heaven too. And I believe they was praying up there for me to get saved. And they were praying down there for me to get saved. And there's people up here praying for me to get saved. Thank God there's people up in heaven praying and they don't want you to go to hell. And it says even the angels rejoice when you get saved.
That's right.
Boy, March the 5th, 1978, when I said amen after asking him in, they started having a party in heaven. There's another one. There's another one. Old dirty rotten sinner got saved today. Glory to God. Give him all the praise, all the glory. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. Only you can do something like that with a man or woman's heart. Praise his name. Let's have a party. Another one got in today.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I like that song. There's a new name written down in glory. And it's mine. Oh yes, it's mine. Amen. And the angels saw it. Don't you laugh at it. Don't you laugh at it. They didn't laugh at it. Somebody, one of the angels, writing down people's names. The Bible says written in a book when you get saved. And March the 5th, 1978, 12:15, this angel said, wait a minute, wait a minute. Church might be over everywhere else, but the one down there finishing up. Here he is, Clarence Ronald Roddy. Woo! Amen, amen. You laugh at it. They didn't laugh at it. Now let me tell you something. The people in heaven, those in heaven don't want you to go to hell. Did you know, we've made a lot of enemies in our lives? Before we were saved, we did. And did you know they went to heaven? Some of them went to heaven. And did you know they forgot every bit of what we did to them? Thank God. Thank God. And did you know they don't want you to go to hell now? They would have told you to go before. And they were believers. I'll never forget, I preached one Sunday and I preached my heart out with a church full, you know, and people getting saved left and right. And I was on cloud nine and, me and my wife standing at the door shaking hands and, this couple came out, middle-aged couple, and, I shook their hand. I said, hey, y'all visitors today, aren't you? And they said, yeah. I said, where you live? And they said, Lancaster. I said, my goodness, you live in Lancaster? I grew up in Lancaster. He said, I know it. He said, we heard about you. We come up here to hear you preach, see if you was real. I said, well, I don't remember that name. He said, well, do you remember, and I'm not going to call this boy's name because he might be watching. He's the only one still living in that crowd I run with. And you remember so-and-so? He lived across the street from you. I said, yeah. He said, you remember all y'all boys used to hang out at his house at night? I said, yeah. He said, you remember you used to torment this poor woman next door every night? You'd torment her and scare her to death? I said, well, he said, that's my wife. He said, y'all tormented my poor wife. I go to work every night and y'all kept her scared to death. I said, well, thank God he forgave me. He said, I don't know if he did or not. And he walked out. Thank God he ain't like some Christians. Amen. Thank God those up in heaven ain't like that. When that man, if he was saved, I don't know if he was or not, but if him and his wife get to heaven, you know what? They're going to say, I forgive him for that. And I hope he don't go to hell. Now you listen to me. There's people in hell don't want you in hell, and there's people in heaven that don't want you in hell. I'm going to shock you with this one. Did you know that the devil is the only one in the universe that wants you to go to hell?
Right.
You say, you don't know that some people hate my guts. Yeah, but when they die, they won't feel like that anymore. In hell, they won't be like that anymore. And if they die and go to heaven, they won't be like that anymore. If they go to hell, they're going to pray you don't come. If they go to heaven, they'll pray you'll come to where they are. I said, in this life, a lot of people might hate you. But let me tell you, there's somebody on the other side that does want you to go to hell. And that's Satan himself. And he's as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And did you know he had some of us one time?
Yeah.
He had us by the neck.
Yeah.
And did you know we were too dumb to know it?
Yeah.
We were too blind to see it. And he was dragging us to hell and we didn't even know it.
Listen.
And we thought we were having our own way.
Wow.
Yeah. We thought we'd living our life, doing our thing, having our own way. We'd say, don't bother me, preacher. I'm having a real good time right now.
Yep.
And when I get too old to drink it or smoke it or dope it, and I get too old to run around this gal or that guy or this crowd or that crowd, I'll come to your church and I'll become a Christian. Let me tell you something. The devil had you by the nape of the neck dragging you into hell.
Yep.
And he's the only one that wants you there. You know why he wants you there? Because God gets the glory when you get saved.
Amen.
And that's what it's all about. You didn't get saved because you was a good person. You wasn't.
Amen.
Nobody is. You didn't get saved so God could make you rich. You didn't get saved so God could make you well. You didn't get saved so God could make you healthy, wealthy, or wise. You got saved so you wouldn't go to a devil's hell. And God would get the glory for saving you. Because it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy did He save us. Everybody in this room right now, from here all the way around and back, will be in hell right now. You hear me? Don't you ever forget that. Every one of us ought to be in hell. You say, I'm a pretty good gal. Don't take the one sin to make you a sinner. And you ain't made it past the first commandment yet. If you don't know what that is, go read it. It'll shock you. Well, I ain't never hurt nobody. Well, you hurt God every time you sin.
That's right.
You're trampling the blood of Jesus Christ every time you reject salvation.
Come on, man. Yeah.
Preacher, who cares if the sinner goes to hell? Doesn't seem like church cares anymore. Preacher, my pastor don't go talk to nobody. My deacons don't deek. Preacher, my Sunday school teacher, we're just learning how to be cultural or culturally correct. Preachers, don't seem like people care if people's going to hell. Well, I'll tell you who cares. God the Father cares. God the Holy Ghost cares. God the Son cares. The lost people in hell, they care. Those saved people in heaven, they care. And the only one left to care is you. If you just care whether or not you went to hell and realize the great price that God has paid so you wouldn't have to go to hell, His only Son, His only begotten Son. And then, church, I want to ask you this. Do you care if someone goes to hell? Now, before you answer that, let's think about this. Do we really care enough to get our feelings hurt or to hurt their feelings?
Yes, Lord.
Do we really care enough to risk being called names? Do we really care enough to risk losing a job or a position? Do we really care enough to lose our children or our grandchildren? Do we really care enough to go out of the way and just say something? You wonder why you're married today if you are married. Because you cared enough to open your mouth and say something. Well, I didn't get a big hallelujah out of that one, did I? And Thomas, when you asked her, she probably said, well, I've been wondering why you hadn't asked me sooner.
Amen.
And do you know why people are not saved, folks?
Yeah.
Because we don't care enough to say something. Well, I don't want to lose them as a friend. You're not their friend if you won't say something. Well, I don't want to lose my children and then run them off. Where are you going to run to? They're already going to hell. Well, I don't want to lose my husband's respect. He don't respect you if you don't tell him the truth. Who cares? Do we care? Look, church, look at me. I'm talking to the church. Now, I don't hear if you're a sinner, you watch. Pardon me for just a second while we talk as a family. You can listen. But do we care enough to weep? Do we care enough to cry? Do we care enough to spend some of our precious leisure time to pray? I can call it eating service. Dinner on the grounds. We won't be able to sit, everybody. But if I say, let's come pray.
Yeah.
Oh, no, preacher. You ever been here on Wednesday night? And then last but not least, do we care enough to open our mouth and say something? Well, I'm embarrassed. Not as embarrassed as Jesus was. They hung him naked on a tree. Well, I'm scared. Not as scared as Philip was when they killed him. Stephen was when they killed him. Not as scared as Peter when they hung him upside down on a cross. Not as scared as John the Baptist when they chopped his head off. Not as scared as John when they boiled him in oil. Scared. Here's all you're scared of. You're scared they're going to hurt your little feelings. Well, if I love you enough, I will tell you the truth. If that hurts your feelings, that's your problem, not mine. Sinner, please. We don't want you to go to hell. God, Holy Ghost, the Son, the people in hell don't want you there. The people in heaven want you to go to heaven, not hell. And the real church will do anything it takes to keep you out of hell. You don't have to run over us to go to hell. You don't have to offend us. You don't have to run over us. You don't have to make fun of us. You have to call us liars and hypocrites. You do whatever you want to, but we're not giving up. Let's stand. Father, thank you for your inerrant word. Bless.